Coming up on today's show, some big news about the Audi e-tron Quattro. We now know when it's coming, what it looks like inside, and car journalists allowed inside it, but sadly not to drive. Delight for the Jaguar I-Pace after winning a big award. And a former Top Gear presenter drives a track-ready Tesla Model S P100D. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Hello, and welcome to the Thursday, the 5th of July edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. We'll start with a little bit of sales news, and the Inside EV scorecard's been updated. Stephen Loveday last night, was publishing some of the latest stats now that we've got June out of the way, and the North American roundup includes this. If trends persist, we should continue to see the final month of each quarter claiming the new lead spot on our all-time list, he says. June will prove this true. Top-line number for June sales in the USA, 26,500 EVs sold. Well, for quarter two, GM sold 3,483 Bolts and 4,336 Volts. Nissan, last month in June, would deliver 1,367 Leafs. That's down almost 10% from last June, and also down from May's 1,576. Why on earth would a great new model like the Nissan Leaf be down in the final month of the quarter when it should be up? Maybe some supply issues, maybe things cooling off a little bit with that, I don't know. Maybe anyone who is in the know could drop me a line anonymously if you want to, and let me know why those Leaf sales down last month. Big questions remain, like Tesla's 200,000th delivery. And how are the Model S and Model X selling? We'll put a link to the page directly in the show notes if you want to read all of the in-depth numbers. Well, big Audi e-tron news to report on today. The high-tech cabin has been unveiled. I'm going to try and get through this whole piece without talking about the competitor to the e-tron Quattro, the Jaguar I-Pace. Won't mention it once. That's the plan. Well, Audi's new all-wheel drive EV is on the horizon, powered by three motors and a 95 kilowatt-hour battery pack. It delivers 250 silent miles on the new WLTP test cycle, which is still a little bit more optimistic than the EPA range, but it's much more in line with it and real world as well. It's got 150 kilowatt CCS fast charging capability, 22 kilowatt charging at home on your custom install, and that makes use of the next gen chargers that you might find out and about. The 350 kilowatt chargers will charge your new e-tron up to 150 kilowatts. That is 100 miles range in half hour. It's 200 miles in half an hour, of course. The specs are certainly competitive, and we know Audi make a fine, fine car. 0 to 60 under 6 seconds, top speed 124 miles an hour. But how much will it hurt with a launch date no sooner than a rather vague spring 2019, which is all they're committing to at the moment, given, well, the I-Pace is already out. Damn it! I won't do it again, last time, I promise. As for the price, it's going to start at $89,000 in the USA. That's a $20,000 premium over the I-Pace. Damn it! Damn it! Well, new interior photos have just been released, and it's a stunning place to spend any time at all. Two large centre touchscreens sit just below the air vents and just above where you rest your hand on the gear selector. Well, I say gear, forwards, backwards and stop. Of course, the instrument panel behind the steering wheel is all digital too, like those gorgeous Audi ones, top of the range. It can turn into a full sat-nav as well. It can turn into all the digital dials, everything you need. Some journalists have been in the passenger seats, sadly not driving it though. Yesterday I was tweeting about Car Magazine's review, which is really good, and Auto Express have had a ride along as well in Copenhagen. And on the move, the first thing you notice about it is the serenity on offer from the EV drivetrain. It's much the same as we've experienced from its rivals, mentioning no names. Although this early passenger ride was ostensibly to demonstrate the e-tron's fine refinement and to show everyone the new interior, and Auto Express say we did manage to get the lowdown on the spec. Unlike its Mercedes EQC rival, the e-tron is going to be built at a dedicated production line in Belgium, riding on a unique scalable platform under which its 95 kilowatt hour battery resides. Even Auto Express saying it's a 95 kilowatt battery. Man, that's a motoring publication, and no wonder the general public are confused with kilowatts and kilowatt hours. Whew, so much education today. Audi's people admit that the platform is 40% stiffer than the Q5s to allow for the e-tron weight, as well as to help with its refinement and dynamic goals, say Auto Express. Full link in the show notes to read the rest of the article. Well, the showstoppers have got to be the side mirrors, of which there aren't any. Just two small aerodynamic metal stalks with HD cameras on the end of them pointing backwards. They're called the e-tron virtual side mirrors. There's some 7-inch OLED or OLED screens in the doors. They're in the door at the bit where it joins the sort of the junction with the A pillar. So where you look to the left and the right to see your mirrors at the moment, just go down about 3 or 4 inch, and then that's where the screens are. So it's a pretty similar experience, but you'll look slightly down from where you do at the moment. Slash Gear say, however, because it's all digital, you can switch up what is shown on those screens, depending on the situation. Now, when you're parking, for instance, the e-tron will show you a totally different view compared to when you're on the highway. And the upshot isn't just aesthetic. Although the electric SUV does look good without traditional mirrors, Audi claims the virtual mirrors cut the drag between 2 and 7%. Leaving the EV more aerodynamic as a result. That should pay dividends when it comes to range, they say. Scrubbing side mirrors can also pay visual dividends too, not just because the resulting body sides look sleeker. For its part, the e-tron will have a pair of small stanchions, say CNET, projecting out with rear-facing cameras, and it'll be better for aerodynamics, according to the CNET review. Sadly, though, US regulations mandate that all cars must have two glass mirrors, so it's only Europe and Asia getting those sci-fi-esque cameras. However, to make up for it, the e-tron Quattro, of course, if you buy one of these, you can use Electrify America's high-speed charging network, with 290 locations installed by the end of the year. Audi says not only the electric car's drivetrain is quieter than gas or diesel, obviously, it has packed the e-tron with loads of noise insulation to really deliver cathedral hush, says Slash Gear, on the subject of noise, or rather, the lack of it. As for regen, we all love a bit of regen and playing with the pedals. You can choose to sail in this one, which isn't available on all EVs, like a neutral, like a sail mode. If you're on the highway and you're going downhill and you don't want any regen at all, and you can go all the way up for town driving for max regen. A link to Auto Express, a link to Slash Gear in the show notes to read more from those excellent reviews. Well, a quick note on the Jaguar I-Pace, and I do mean to mention it this time. Loads of car awards events are run by magazines all around the world. They all have various categories, and for a while now, EVs have been picking up wins in certain subcategories, and even some of those subcategories are purely for EVs and plug-ins. That changed last night. The all-electric Jaguar I-Pace was named the Car of the Year at the 2018 Auto Express New Car Awards, and the editor-in-chief, Steve Fowler, described it as the most exciting new car we've seen in the past 12 months. According to automotiveworld.com, stat check on the I-Pace, 90 kilowatt hour lithium-ion battery. So slightly smaller than the Audi e-tron Quattro. Dual motors for all-wheel drive, 0 to 60, 4.5 seconds, and 298 miles on the WLTP cycle. Well, Steve Fowler, editor of Auto Express, said the I-Pace proves that brilliant electric cars are right here, right now. It's the most exciting new car we've tested in the last 12 months. We love the way it looks, he says, the space and the quality of the interior. And most of all, it drives exactly how a modern-day Jaguar should. It's fantastic fun. On top of all of that, it'll cover city-to-city distances on a single charge in complete comfort. It's massively impressive, and that bodes well for our electric future. Well, moving on to a former Top Gear presenter, and he's been driving the new Tesla P100DL custom made for Electric GT Championship. It launches later this year. Not officially endorsed and sanctioned, if you like, by Tesla, but it is by the FIA. They regulate Formula E and Formula One, and it's a whole new racing series. And although it only features Teslas at this stage, the organisers have never ruled out having different makes and models because it's called Electric GT. However, for now, the field will be completely Tesla Model S, P, P100 DLs with a range of interior stripped out. They are proper racing cars, roll bars, all that kind of stuff. Lots of carbon fibery bits added. You lose in total £1,100 from the car as it's shipped from Fremont. On the Love Cars YouTube channel, the TV host Tiff Niddell and former former Formula One driver Tiff Niddell took one for a spin in the Catalonia circuit in Barcelona in Spain at the car's launch. There's a race body kit on it as well for aero. There's door handles that permanently stick out, so all those motors and fancy things in the Model S have been stripped out, and the air suspension's gone as well, with more lightweight and customizable racing suspension. Plus with improvements to the brakes and cooling, a lot different to the stock Model S. Simon at Teslarati says the vehicle's battery still showed some heating issues as revealed by the Model S's systems, throttling the performance after 1.5 hot laps around the Barcelona track. And that'll be something they really have to get sorted between now and November. You can't have a racing series where after 1.5 laps the cars start to throttle their performance. No doubt a load of engineering going on at the moment. We know with Tesla, the Model 3 is built, Elon's always said, built for the track. It'll beat an M3 and all those kind of cars, the sports cars from German manufacturers and all those kind of things. The S and the X, very, very fast in a straight line, limited runs. It's going to be interesting to see how they re-engineer that. The series starts racing in Jerez on the 4th of November, also in Spain, by the way. I'll be at the Silverstone event, already confirmed for that in 2019, and reporting back from that. We really cannot wait to see some Teslas flying around the track. Any of those. If you like watching closed wheel motor racing, so if you like stuff like touring cars in the UK and German touring cars, I love it because it's real bumper to bumper. You know, take a few wing mirrors off and it's real close racing. I love that kind of stuff. Well, moving on, and you wait ages for a car sharing scheme and then two come along at once. It's the old joke about buses, and the irony, by the way, of that is not lost on me, because maybe we should be using buses more and not car sharing schemes in our inner cities. Well, first up, I saw Fred at Electrek writing about Renault and 2,000 new Renault EVs in Paris for ride sharing services starting in September. He says Renault is going to start to make the all electric Zoe, the Twizy, the Kangoo and the Master available for a series of services. Well, the previous car sharing service was called Autolib that operated in Paris, and it recently stopped after a dispute with local authorities. And then as soon as I saw that article, I then saw Reuters reporting that Volkswagen plans to start offering car sharing services using fully electric vehicles in German cities next year as part of efforts to serve consumers who don't want to buy their own cars. Its offering will compete in its home market with DriveNow and Car2Go. That's the soon-to-be-merged car sharing service of BMW and Daimler. Now, the new CEO of VW Group, Herbert Diess, who took office in April, said it was vital for VW to pick up speed and make an unmistakable mark in areas like mobility services. VW wants that to contribute a significant share of their future group business. A link to both Electrek and the Reuters article in the show notes. And finally, on to China. A bit of background for China, by the way. I have been so psyched and super excited about the Tesla Model S. Will they, won't they? At the end of the quarter, the 5,000 Model 3 thing. That I thought sometimes it's always good to take a breath and look at China. Because that's where the really, really big numbers can be found. If you head east, plug-in sales of the new energy vehicles, that's what they call them over there, the NEVs, as they're branded, are up 149% in Q1 alone this year. Well, last month, in May, China had 94,000 EVs registered, almost 100,000 EVs in 1 month alone. And the names you probably won't have heard of, but are a really big deal, include things like BAIC. Now, the BAIC EC series is far and away the biggest selling EV in China. It's a small family EV. It's got modern styling. It sold 12,500 models last month, and it could well beat the Tesla Model 3 to be the best-selling EV in the world this year, depending on how many they can churn out from Fremont. Watch out as well for the BYD, the BYD QIN. How would I say that in Chinese? Definitely not Quinn, I imagine. But that's selling really well. 3,000 to 4,000 models every single month for the last 9 months consistently. The SAIC Baojun E100. It's made by the Shanghai Auto Company and GM, which is interesting, in a joint venture. And it's a tiny, tiny little two-seater, like a smart car. If it's a city car and one of those little cars that you can park front into the curb and it doesn't stick out because it's so short, has 39 horsepower, costs $14,000. It's tiny and it sells in big numbers. The Jidu D2EC, you haven't heard of that, right? It looks like a small city car from the 1990s. Pretty horrible, pretty cheap as well. Looks like a slightly larger Renault Twizy, but with old-fashioned styling. But it's got an 18 kilowatt-hour battery, and they love it. And the BAIC EX series is the fifth biggest seller. Now, that is a compact crossover, and that looks like any modern Hyundai, kind of Kia, or Japanese compact crossover that you'd buy in North America or Europe. Great styling. I don't know why it's not selling better, mainly because it's more expensive, I imagine. It's the last one on the list, but it's the first one that you would choose of these five to have on your driveway. Looks like any modern Western or American crossover. 48 kilowatt hour battery, 200 miles range, but a $28,500 price tag, and that might be why in China it's only in fifth place. Well, half of all the plug-in cars in the world last month, June 2018, were made by Chinese OEMs. Half of every single electric car made by China. They're on target to make and sell 1 million EVs this year alone. A million in a year. And now a new action plan has been released yesterday to move the country forwards. China is going to cut down its coal consumption and boost EV sales and shut outdated steel and coke capacity in the next 3 years, the State Council said in a long-awaited 2018 to 2020 Pollution Action Plan, reports Reuters. China is now in the fifth year of what it calls its war on pollution, aimed at reversing the damage done to the country's environment since the economy was opened up in 1978. President Xi Jinping has been promising to use the full might of the Chinese Communist Party to meet the country's clean goals. The new three-year action plan, released yesterday on the official government website, will expand the fight to 82 cities around China. They set an annual production and sales target for new energy vehicles, bearing in mind they'll do a million this year, to be 2 million vehicles by 2020. It's all about cutting road emissions. A link to the article in the show notes. And just a little comment. I know sometimes I keep my comments to myself and just give you the news, but my take on that from sitting here in the middle, I mean geographically in the middle, is that it seems strange because we get headlines in this country about Donald Trump's America opening up pipelines and putting money into coal production and solar tariffs. And then you look the other way and the country that is all the power is shifting to is China, that's on this massive war against pollution and these huge green goals. And they're not just paying lip service to it. They are properly going about selling 2 million electric cars every year by 2020. And it's just an interesting comment. It's like the way we see it from this country, looking at both. We've always looked towards America as being, you know, the world's superpower and those kind of things. But it just in this one thing, in terms of green energy, apart from Tesla, there is a shift of power going on, and it's interesting to watch. Well, moving on just to a couple of emails I want to get to today. I missed them out yesterday, but thank you so much for getting in touch on the email address, which is hello@evnewsdaily.com. That is hello@evnewsdaily.com. If I'm wrong, by the way, about that shift of power, please do let me know and say you are bang out of order and tell me why. That's just the way that it appears from here. Let me know in the comments section, or you can email me. Hi to Ben McManus saying merely hello. Hello to Leo Clark as well, saying, hi, Martin, I meant to send this to you last night, but if you haven't heard, the Tesla Model 3 is coming to Goodwood in the UK. Yes, I did hear, and I'm going, and I'm so excited. First time I've seen a Model 3. This is for any Californian listeners, by the way. You must laugh out loud. If you're listening in your Tesla on TuneIn right now, you must laugh out loud that I've never actually seen a Model 3 up close, because, you know, lots of people have even been to the showroom to at least see one from the outside. And hello to Bill Pollock, who says, and you may know this name actually if you follow him on Twitter, hello from Toronto. Love the show. We always crave a bit more EV news, and thank you so much for, he was saying, your podcast, and going to send me a very cool battery on board sticker. Yeah, Bill, I'll get back to you and let you know how I can start displaying that and spread your logo here in the UK. And finally, Nancy emailed yesterday, and Nancy says, I recently subscribed to your podcast a week or so ago, and I enjoy the informative and quick updates you provide every day about the EV industry. Now, the other day, you were saying that the Hyundai Kona and the Kia Niro have different batteries, even though they're both made by the Hyundai Motor Company. What's the difference? I don't understand. Well, I'm no battery expert, but from the limited knowledge I've got, so even though they are both owned by Hyundai, the Kia, or let's start with the Kona. As far as I know, the Hyundai Kona is going to be using a slightly older, or at least if that's a use a more positive spin, a more established battery chemistry. And it is the NCM622 chemistry. So NCM, nickel, cobalt, and manganese. And it is used in many places already now, not as energy dense, but I think slightly better at the moment for performance compared to the alternative, and uses more cobalt, which is easily the most expensive bit of any of those batteries. The other battery they're using, so that comes from LG Chem. Then their sister company, the Kia Niro, that's going to be using a new type of battery chemistry, and it is the NCM, so again, nickel, cobalt, manganese, the 811. So eight parts of nickel, and then to one part of cobalt and manganese, as far as I understand. It was 80%, 10%, 10%, with the anode is mostly graphite with some silicon in there. And what that does, that improves energy density, and that opens up avenues of development as well, so that the NCM 811 new cells can actually theoretically have a much higher energy density. If you look back at those original Nissan Leaf batteries, you know, the 6-7 years ago, the 24 kilowatt hour batteries, they would be like 300, early 300 watt hours per litre in terms of density, and the new battery cells can do 1,000 watt hours per litre. So in the same space, you can triple the energy density. So that's what it is, and they do, one's better for performance, one's better for density, and there's probably some cost differences there as well between LG Chem, and the new ones are produced by SK Innovation. So it's a bit geeky, but you asked, and if I'm wrong, then correct me. I'm no expert on batteries, and I'm sure people listening to this are far more knowledgeable than I am about those. Leave me a little note in the comments of whatever platform you use, and all previous 170 of these are on all the platforms you might like. Hello, if you're listening on YouTube, by the way. Loads of YouTube comments are coming in. Thank you for all the new subscribers. If that's you, thank you for checking the show out on that. And if you ever want it as a podcast, this show began as a podcast, by the way. So obviously it's on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify carries, which is super cool because it's a bit more of a curated thing. TuneIn and Stitcher. And I've got a blog at evnewsdaily.com. Subscribe on any of those places. Firstly, it's free, and we all love free stuff. Then it also means you get them first and automatically. Come and say hi on the socials, search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.